Friends, the next on our program, I didn't tell him to get up here because he kind of is here, but we, during the course of the year, a lot goes on behind the scenes that nobody knows about, and it's an everyday kind of all day thing, and so you might like to know what's going on here in New York State, and whether or not you do want to know this, we are going to hear about it, and we're going to hear about it from our own President Carl Jacobson.
These are my people. These are the ones who will reach for the stars. These are my people. By the light of the earth, you can tell they are ours. A new step to take, and a new day will break for this my.
Thank you, my people. I didn't know that song, but it's so appropriate to know that we as a people are together once again to celebrate and to rejoice in our federation. In very short words, the Federation in New York is alive and well and growing and moving. We are doing that because of the efforts of every one of you out there. I was walking around the building here yesterday, just moving from event to event and just not saying much, just kind of taking it all in. Because Friday is not a day that I put together. Friday's a day that I want to absorb and see what you all have put together. And once again, I was struck by the fact that as teams, we've come together and done great jobs. The exhibit hall, when it was open, was very well staffed, managed, and underway under the guidance and leadership of Chancey Fleet. Thank you, Chancey. In order for that exhibit hall to have been set up in the first place, it had to have been made, contact had to have been made by the people who were in it. And a lot of that contact was made by Mindy Jacobson. Thank you, Mindy. In order for other things to have happened in the building, we had to have made contact with parents and parents of blind children and people to talk to them. And so a lot of that was done by Maria Garcia and Arthur Jacobs. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Arthur. I know I run the risk of forgetting somebody here, but that's going to be my risk. If I forgot you, I'm sorry. Today we are going to have our student division gather again. It's going to gather over lunch in room 723. Room 723 has been set up. It is a sleeping room, but it's been set up with tables and chairs and places to eat, and it's got regular tables and the like in there. You wouldn't know the difference between that and a regular place to sit down and have your lunch. We were told that it's big enough for that. So that was going to happen, but that's going to also happen under the able leadership of Nihal Erkan. Thank you, Nihal. We've got a growing group of people coming around here now, a growing group of folks who are taking the lead. And you saw Kate before with the scholarship committee, and tomorrow you will see Chancey with the resolutions committee. I am just thrilled that we continue to grow as an affiliate. The last 10 years or the last 20 years has been one of growth for us. Growth in our not only in our finances, growth not only in our numbers, but growth in our influence, growth in our reach, growth in our stature as an organization. We currently, I've been sitting here trying to do the math in my head while I was waiting for other presenters to go on with what they had to say. And I believe I've got $685,000, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, I'm a few thousand dollars off. But I just recently signed a contract for $685,000 for the next 5 years of funding for Newsline. I want to thank the Commission for the Blind for that. The Commission for the Blind has been, like you hear when you sign on to Newsline, through the generous support of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. I would dare say it approaches $1.5 million that the Commission has put into Newsline since it began. And thank you, Commissioner Daniels, for that. We also have been granted monies by the state legislature, and there is a long bureaucratic story there that we won't bother getting into now. It's not a secret, it's just boring. We have been granted at least another $150,000 with which we can expand Newsline in areas that are not covered by the current commission grant. So we will be expanding as soon as we can draw that money down into other ways of serving our populations who are unreached by Newsline and other ways of establishing different methods of communication. We are always looking for ways to communicate with our people. And sometimes we find people, sometimes people find us. About 2 years ago, a young woman named Agnes Steinhoff managed to find us through the efforts of her social worker. Her social worker was looking for help for her client. Agnes was a single mom who, for medical reasons, had placed her two small children into foster care with the county, right in Rensselaer, New York. I was going to say right here. We're not here. We're in Niagara Falls. Right in Rensselaer, New York, right in the place where the commission has its offices, right in that county. Placed her two small children in foster care until she had her issues dealt with. Her issues were dealt with, they were resolved. They were resolved to the doctor's satisfaction and to Agnes's satisfaction. And came time for Agnes to claim her children. She came forward to claim her children and was told by county officials that she couldn't have her children because she was blind. You can't have your children back that you gave, that you lent to us a while ago, that you entrusted us with. You can't have them back to care for once again because you're blind. And we don't see how a blind person can take care of children, so we are going to keep your children. And we rather thought this was not the right thing to do. Our social worker got a hold of our office, and soon it's almost like a red flag. As soon as I or Dr. Maurer or Ray or any of us here, blind parents in danger of losing their children because of blindness, red flags go up in the office. I got a hold of Dr. Maurer. He told me to call Sharon Kreber Weisbaum at Brown Goldstein and Levy. I did. It's been a long battle, but the Commission for the Blind stepped right up to side by side with Sharon and got Agnes the services that she needed to address any deficits that she might have had, anything that any idiot judge could figure out might have been a little deficit. And did she know how to scratch her nose? Yes, she did. You know, all the things that they can find to keep you from raising your own children. The Commission for the Blind stepped up and allocated any resources in a more than timely fashion. So for that, I want to thank the Commission for the Blind for stepping in to help Agnes. Got a call a few weeks ago. Actually, it was just between National and Now, so there was no real big place to announce it. But got a call between National Convention and Now from the attorneys for Agnes. And Agnes has her children back. She is not with us this weekend because she's working. I remember one time Dr. Jernigan said that he would rather see a blind person working than at convention. And I guess I need to subscribe to that too, because that's how you support your children, that's how you support yourself, and that's the first important thing for a blind person, is to be able to support themselves and their children. So Agnes, I'm glad you're at work. I'm sorry you're not with us, but I'm glad you're at work. Maybe we'll see you when we're in Albany in the springtime, or the late winter, unfortunately, late winter. But victory after victory comes to us. We unfortunately have several more cases that I'm not at liberty to talk about, but several of them have to do with child custody cases. We will be addressing those child custody cases one by one or as a group if necessary. We will be looking for legislation that prohibits any court or any agency from removing a child from its parents simply because the parent is blind. Yeah, that's right. If there are other issues that would cause that child to be removed, we'll let those issues run their course. We'll be out of that. But blindness is off the table. I saw a piece of legislation that was introduced last year by a member of the legislature. I was told that this member is retired. I hope not, because this has been a strong advocate for us. I will find out if it's true or not before I say anything about the person to you, because I'd hate to say something that wasn't true and have everybody bummed out. And that member will say to me, "What do you mean I retired?" Well, if you think I retired, the heck with you then. I'm not going to say anything until I've confirmed it. If she has retired, I'm going to be a little sad about it, because we've lost a really, really good friend. And if she's not retired, I'm going to ask her to go back to work for us. But nevertheless, there are many good people in the state legislature who will come forward to help us with this. I know that, because not everybody wants to take blind children from their parents. So we will be looking to get that cured and to get that addressed. But as our blind children grow up, they need services. And one of the things that they're not getting is literacy services. And we have decided once again as a federation, if the government can't do it, if the state won't do it, we'll do it. We'll take care of it. And as a result, we established the Bell program. You'll be hearing more about the Bell program today, later this afternoon. But in the meantime, the Bell program was ably administered and taught by a combination of people's efforts. Brooke Jensen, who has since been kidnapped to Colorado Springs.
Yeah, Brooke, yeah.
Boo, Colorado Springs. Yeah, Kevin now has custody of Brooke. His gain or loss. You know, he's already thrown a sack over him. But anyway, she's been moved. The Army has moved her husband out there, and of course, she followed him. She chose to follow her husband rather than stay here with the Bell program. Let me see, Bell program or Rocky? Bell program or Rocky? Hard to choose there. but that is to say, we are still going to go forward with another Bell program. I've been approached by several of you saying that you have an interest in beginning a Bell program, not only to do it again in the Syracuse area, but to bring it now down to New York City. We chose the Syracuse area because we had more people there who wanted to do it. We were up and ready to go. We had ready volunteers. We had everything was just coming together in that place to perform that service. So we chose Syracuse, and we're likely to choose Syracuse again as one of the two areas, yes. Because there are plenty of parents. You should see some pictures around here of children who were in the program, in the Bell program. I'm not exactly sure where they are. I think there's some of them in this room. Mike, are they in this room? Okay, some will be on the head table and some will be by the doors. They are, I think, at least 8x10s, so they're fair-sized pictures to see our children and the results of that. That program, I think, if she was not the lead teacher, she should have been. But that program was ably taught by several teachers, but chief among them was our own Kate Mendez again.
Yeah, yeah.
Kate told me that she's willing to teach again. But she'd be out of her mind if she tried to administer the program. Administration is a harder job, so Kate's gonna need some help. So think about it. You wanna help? You wanna help bring literacy to some blind children? You wanna help teach them the right ways of feeling about, to feel about themselves as blind people and as blind children? You wanna start them off on the right foot through programs that we have developed in the National Federation of the Blind? Let's get together and see what we can do about that. In the next week or two, we're going to be addressing that. And I hope to get this accomplished by the end of the month so that we can get some of these things underway and get our people trained up and doing these things. It's going to cost us, if I project correctly, and I don't have all the figures in, but it's going to cost us roughly $15,000 to do the two programs. That's combined Syracuse and New York City. We don't have the $15,000 right now. We'd like to go raise $15,000. And when we do have enough money, we will spend it and we'll have to raise some more. But we need to raise about $15,000. And I will be asking that it's part of a partnership that we are developing. I will be asking the Commission for the Blind for between half and all of that $15,000. We will see, we'll give Commissioner Daniels a chance to respond to me this afternoon, but I might as well make the ask now. Commissioner Daniels, I will be asking you for between $7,500 and $15,000 later today. Now, having said that, there are many other things that we will be continue to be doing. There are issues of Randolph Shepard. Randolph Shepard issues have always been on the forefront, but in the last couple of years, they've kind of slipped to the back because some of our vendors have slipped off to the side. We will try to get our vendors back to the middle of this affiliate. Because, frankly, I can tell you that it was not a bad ride through Randolph Shepard. It makes it possible for houses to be placed on streets in Brooklyn and to be lived in by old former vendors who are now living in those houses and retired. I think we are going to reactivate the Merchants Division. And when we say we're going to try to do something, we usually succeed. There have to be vendors there who care enough about their program and the future of blind people in the state to help grow that program. There are two people in this affiliate who have never spent a day making a dime at vending, but they have spent many countless hours at trying to improve the lives of vendors in the west, in the western region, right out here in the Niagara Buffalo area. And that's Julie Phillipson and Margot Downey. Julie as her position as affiliate secretary, and Margot as a commissioner with the Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority, are going to be working with that authority and with the Commission for the Blind to see how much opportunity can be brought to bear to bring up more opportunity for blind people in that authority. There are plenty of places that a blind person can make a dollar and make more than a dollar through that Niagara Frontier Transportation Authority. And thank you, Julie and Margot, for not even being vendors, but like a true Federationist, caring about another blind person enough to go those extra miles to help blind people be who they can be and live the lives they want. We are always taking those cases. We are taking those cases one by one. We take cases that matter nothing to us. Like I said before, we have several more cases of parents who are going to have their children placed in jeopardy because of the sin of blindness. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to put up with that for a minute. We have children who are not getting an appropriate education. We're not going to put up with that for a minute. We have plenty of other opportunities that are out there that we are going to deal with. And we are going to continue to try to raise money for those things. We're going to continue to spend money for those things. Somebody said to me one time, we spend so much money. What about saving some? And I had to ask, for what? What are we saving money for? Every one of us in this room needs to save for our retirement. We need to make sure that there's money there for when we get old. The Federation is not going to get old in that sense. The Federation is just going to have another birthday. And we're going to have our 75th birthday coming up real soon. But I'm going to let Kevin tell you about that one. I don't want to steal all of Kevin's thunder. We have our 75th birthday coming up, and we're going to celebrate that, because 75 years of accomplishment is no mean feat for a bunch of blind guys who society expects nothing from. So we're going to do that, and we're going to celebrate that. But at the same time, we needed to raise money for that, and we need to keep spending money, because there will always be something that a blind person is going to need our help in. Whether they know about us or not, we are going to be there to help. And they might learn about us, and they might never learn about us. I don't think half the people, or three-quarters of the people who are receiving their SSDI checks know that the Federation had anything to do with them. But they did, and we did, and we will, and we will continue to have something to do with making the lives of blind people better and making it so that blind people can live the lives they want. We will continue to do that because of you, because you are the members of the National Federation of the Blind, and you support the leadership of the National Federation of the Blind. And for that, I thank you. I thank you. I thank Mindy, thanks you. Mike, thanks you. Ray and Julie, thank you. I thank you for giving me a great team to work with. The five people and the four people plus myself who I've just named have managed to form a working relationship where we don't hardly have to talk to each other anymore. We've almost read each other's minds, and we've gone ahead and done the things that are needed. I think that's possibly part of the reason that Julie and Margot got into that Randall Shepard issue when they smelled it, because they knew it was an issue that needed getting into, and they went and got into it. Because we are that family that reads each other's minds. So we will continue to do that. I want to thank you. It is not an election year, but we still want to thank you every year for giving us the opportunity to serve you, to serve our Federation, to serve our state, to serve the future of blind people in this state. We are continuing to try to grow this Federation, and we will grow this Federation, and we're always looking for new ventures. I know some of you have heard of this before, but I'm going to say it again, because I think it's a really terrific way and a creative way of growing this. Why do I think it's a creative way? Well, perhaps because I thought of it. And perhaps because it's new, it's technology, and perhaps because I've seen it work elsewhere, and perhaps because it's just a doggone nice idea, and it can also be fun to do. In early spring, I spoke to Mark Riccobono about starting a chat site for the Federation. I've seen other places and other people have for-profit chat sites. And they have other means of putting themselves together online to do one mission or another. I said to him, Mark, knowing that he was the heir apparent for the presidency, I said, why don't we put together a site and call it something like, you know, NFB on the move, or NFB growing, or, you know, go NFB. And we finally settled on NFB live, because that's what the NFB is. We're alive. The NFB is alive and growing. And we settled on the name NFB Live, and if you spell it the right way with JAWS, it will come out right. If you spell it the wrong way, it'll come out NFB Live. And although NFB does live, I prefer to see NFB Live. And it is really the NFB Live, because on that site you will find many people engaged in conversation with each other about things that concern them as blind people or as Federationists. The governmental affairs team will be joining that site shortly in the next week or two to discuss current and past legislation with anybody who cares to raise the questions with them. They will be doing that shortly, and we welcome them as another part of our growing family of the internet people. We talked about social media. I don't know if this is social media. I don't quite understand what social media is. It's too just too broad a term. But this is another way for people to interact with each other and for people to communicate with each other, such that we can better understand each other and understand each other's missions and understand each other's reasoning for doing what we do as a people. So when you're asked to participate in NFB Live, don't look like it's another chore. It might be a chore that night, and maybe you want to skip it that night. But in general, for you to hook up with your brothers and sisters from all over the country. We have with us this weekend a member of the Canadian Federation of the Blind, Advocates for Equality, which was started by those, Mary Ellen Gabbias and Paul Gabbias, who some of you might remember, moved up to British Vancouver, British Columbia, and several years ago. Paul took a chair at a university there and is now teaching there. But it was started by those ex-Americans or expatriates who had gone to Canada. And it is being run with a lot of Federation philosophy in Canada, and it's going to be run with Federation philosophy here, because what Mark Riccobono said to me is, if you think it's such a good idea, why doesn't New York host it for a year or two? And if it's a good idea, it'll prove itself to be a good idea, and then maybe it's worth funding from National. So we will find a way to fund it. We have found ways to fund it. People are buying rooms to fund it. We have found ways to fund it, and we will grow it financially, and we will soon have an opportunity for not only a couple of people to be talking and visiting with each other, but for hundreds and thousands of people to be talking and visiting with each other on a daily, weekly, and nightly basis. So let's get together on that latest of our projects, that is NFB Live. If you're already signed up, come and visit the site. If you're not signed up, again, see Roger. He's in the back of the room. Roger, where are you? He's right by the door. All right. So go see him. He'll answer any questions you have about it. He can sign you up right there. He has his laptop. Okay. So go see Roger on the way out, and then we will start to grow this thing from New York, and other states are taking advantage of it as well. But that's just one more way of saying that we are looking for creative ways to do the same work over again. We're always looking for creative ways to fund our movement. We're always looking for creative ways to get our message out there and to inform the public about the normalcy of blindness. We can be who we want to be. We can live the lives we want. We can do it with each other's help. We can do that because we are together, because we are one, because we are the National Federation of the Blind. I want to invite everyone. Yes. And because of that, we need to invite each other to join each other and lock arms, climb those barricades that we used to do in the 70s, make sure that nobody pushes us backwards, because we are going to live the lives we want, regardless what any judge says, regardless what any bureaucrat says, regardless what any administrators say or any teachers say. We are going to live the lives we want, because we can do no other than to stand with each other as brothers and sisters, as one, looking for a brighter future. My brothers, my sisters, the future is ours. Join with me, and together we can make it all come true. This is my report to you this day. Thank you.